bring greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful to be here again with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your grace, your kindness, and teaching us your ways, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to ever strive to be more like Christ. Lord, that you would help us, Father, to open our mouths and our hearts to your word this morning. Lord, that you would help us, Father, to hear what you would have us to say. Fill us with your Spirit, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. I want to again greet you this morning in Jesus' name. This morning I want to just have a lot of different directions. I feel like I'm going, so pray that this would all come out the way it's supposed to. Be easy to be understood. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis. We just finished singing the song, Lord, Thy Blessed Word Obeying. Verse 3, it says, each commandment thou hast given is a waymark on the road, leading from the earth to heaven, to thy blessed throne, O God. Ever to thy precepts clinging, may we ever obey thy word. Faithful in thy works we bringing, glory to thy name, O Lord. Want to talk about obedience and the blessings that it is to learn this obedience. And our choice that we have to do this obedience. Brother Ryan was on the street a few weeks ago and he was talking with man and he asked him a question. He said, if you could stop sinning, would you? If you could stop sinning, would you? And that's what I want to kind of use part of that this morning and what we're talking about. But I want you to think about that. Are you doing something that you just don't want to quit? And that's the heart of what sin is. It's you doing something that you will not stop doing. Or you not doing something that you will not begin to do. In Genesis chapter 4, we were talking with the brethren last night, and this was brought up. Verse 4 and verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Cain got angry with God because he wouldn't accept his sacrifice, because he wouldn't accept Cain and his sacrifice. The way he was living wasn't pleasing to God. And so he brought a sacrifice to God instead of obedience. He brought a sacrifice to God that was not acceptable to God. It wasn't the type of sacrifice that he offered at all. It was the fact that Cain was not doing right. And he was trying to cover up what he was not doing right with a sacrifice. He brought this to God. And the Lord said, Cain, why art thou wroth? And to Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted. It wasn't his sacrifice he was talking about. He said to Cain, If you will do well, you will be accepted. And your sacrifice, whatever it is, will be a blessing to me. But the question is, will you do well, Cain? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Right here is the voice of God speaking in the very beginning, and that same voice is speaking right now to you. God's Spirit is trying to call you to be acceptable to God. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. We know the story. Cain had a choice to do well, to forgive. He was angry with God. He could have repented and turned to God and done well. But he didn't. He let that thing build and grow, and he chewed on it until whenever he was out walking with his brother, this bitterness and anger, he rose up and slew his own brother. But he had a choice to do well or not to do well. And he made the wrong choice. It was within his power to do well, and he chose not to. If you could stop sinning, would you? Or would you do like Cain? Or will you do like Cain? Sin lieth at the door. It lies right at your door. Will you do well? The choice is yours. Jesus, whenever he was here, said, after he talked about John 3:16, he went on and he began to explain about condemnation. And he said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love their darkness. They love their sin. They love their disobedience. They love to do their own way instead of hearing and obeying God. Lord, Thy blessed word obeying. Someone who repents and returns to God. Returns to God. And they begin obeying. They begin to do well. We've all failed. We've all sinned. But we have a choice to make. Whether we continue in that or not. We've all failed to do what we're supposed to do sometimes. But we have a choice to make. Whether we'll rise up and fix that. And start doing what we're supposed to be doing. Or we can choose not to. And follow after the sin. We have a choice to obey or not to obey. Sin lieth at the door. In John, again, John chapter 3. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We have a choice to make. We are like a garden. We can choose to plant a good garden, or we can just let grow whatever it will. Being born again is a miracle from God. Our problem is that many people say they're born again because they have an experience and they're waiting on God to do something. God is calling you. God is calling you to hear Him. The flesh is what Cain chose. He didn't listen, and he chose to follow after the flesh, and it led to sin. It led to him killing his brother. Had he chosen to yield to God, he could have been reconciled to God and been brought back to Him. Whenever you plant a garden, you have to till the soil. And you have to plow it. And then you till it. And you get all the rocks out of it. And you make a seed bed. Then you put a seed in the ground. What causes that seed to grow? Is there anything that you can do that will make life in that seed? There is absolutely nothing you can do to put life in that seed. But if you don't plow the ground, and you don't till it, and you don't prepare the bed for that seed, it won't matter how much life is in that seed. You have to prepare yourself for God. And when you prepare yourself for God, and you become a vessel that God can plant the seed of His Spirit in, that will produce the life in you that you're looking for. Whenever you yield yourself to God, then He can give us His Spirit and renew us back to Himself. But God is waiting on man to do that. This same Spirit that was speaking, this same God that was speaking to Cain, is speaking to us today. Christ speaking to us, waiting for those who will obey Him. In Acts chapter 5, it says that God will give His Spirit to those who obey Him. The problem is that a lot of times there's just something we're not willing to do. Something that we're not willing to lay down. Something that we're not willing to take up. Something that we're not willing to give up, because we would rather allow ourselves and keep ourselves in control of our own lives. What is it? Sin lieth at the door. Sin lies at the door. How far are you away from doing something that you never thought you'd be able to do? Do you think Cain would have thought about killing his brother? Do you think that he just grew up thinking that one day I'm going to kill him? He probably thought he was a pretty good man. He tried to offer an offering to God. But there was something wrong. And when God showed it to him, he got angry. And then when God tried to tell him, repent, he wouldn't listen. We have the choice of how we're going to live. We have the choice to prepare the ground for God to work in us. If we will. We talked about obedience. The boys did in the Sunday school thing. Talked about obedience and how it is good to learn obedience. You children, you have an opportunity to learn obedience when you're young. And the earlier you learn just to obey, that doesn't mean you don't have a mind of your own. That doesn't mean you can't think for yourself. But if your father or your mother wants you to do something, quickly do it. Even though you don't understand. Even though you don't know what they're asking, maybe. Even though you might think that they're just being mean to you. Even though you would rather be doing a lot of other things. even though they may be creating something for you to do, just for you to do it. It doesn't matter. You learn that young. So that way one day, maybe when God calls, and this question, these turmoils come up about whether you can obey and trust God or not, it might make it easier for you to hear Him. If you can't obey your parents, you'll never obey God. There's a lot of people that obey their parents that still don't obey God. But I'll tell you one thing, if you don't learn obedience to your parents, you probably will never learn to obey God. It just makes it very, very difficult. Learn to submit yourselves and obey. Learn while you're a child to obey. We have a lot of people here that we've dealt with people that whenever it came time, whenever they were 13 or 14 or 15 years old, decided they weren't going to obey their parents anymore, and they ran away from home, or they turned to alcohol, or they turned to drugs, or they turned to something else. They escaped reality. They thought they were escaping the tyranny of having to obey. Then in later life, they hear the Lord calling and want to repent and want to return. They find that they've wrecked their lives. They've ruined their lives. They've made a mess of their life and they want to turn back. When they turn back, they have the maturity level of a 12, 13, or 14, or 15-year-old child. They may be in a 40-year-old body, but their maturity level is still right there where they left reality. When they took up drugs, that's where their reality left off. That's the age they were when they were maturing. And it is terribly hard to learn from there. To submit and to obey and learn to take the time to grow up. We've seen it happen several times. There's people that have done it. They've faced it. And it's a blessing. My advice, get under someone that you can trust. And you listen to them. You don't have to make all your own decisions. You learn. You grow. You mature. You spend some time growing up. Even though you may be full grown. Learn the lessons that you should have learned when you were a child. It'll be a blessing to you when you get a little older. When you plant, when you prepare yourself, and you obey, and you walk, and you follow, and you make straight the paths, and you clear all the stuff out of the way, like John the Baptist, and prepare the way of the Lord, then God can do something in your life. But it's up to us to prepare that way. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." You will be witnesses unto me. When we're born again and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we have the Spirit of God in this world. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to even really know what happened. It may not be a glorious experience, but the spirit of the world will recognize that something of the Spirit of God has entered into this world. And there will be a difference. We are called to be a witness of God's Spirit. We talked about the authority a little bit last week. The authority. Where do we get our authority? Where did Christ get His authority? It was from the Spirit of God dwelling in Him. The Pharisees came up and said, "How do you do these things? By what authority do you have to do these?" They came to John the Baptist. "Who are you to do these things?" They came to Peter and John and Paul and said, "Who are you? Where do you get this power? Where's your title? Where's your history? Where's your heritage?" They had yielded to God, and God's Spirit put His Spirit in them. That is their authority. That they were truly born again. And their spirit no longer fit with the spirit of the world. Their spirit clashes with the spirit of the world, just like Christ did. When we have God's Spirit, we have power to be His witness. To be a witness for Him. Not just because we go out and witness all the time, but because His power, we're supposed to do that. But because His power is there and men recognize there's something different there. They recognize that authority has come into this world that is higher than the worldly authority. That's what being born again is about. It's not just us doing things different. There's an entire spiritual change that's taken place. God can now come and work with us and make us a light in this world. God can now use a vessel made of clay and have His Spirit and His light and His salt in this world. You have the choice to yield yourself to Him that way. We talked to a man this week. We got a letter from a man that we've talked to quite a bit. One day, a few years ago, he was zealous, full of zeal, courageous. But his church made him make a decision whether he was going to continue to follow after the Spirit of God or return back to just being a part of his church. And he went through a terrible struggle and a terrible battle deciding which way he was going to go. The letter he wrote to us was pathetic. He said in the letter, "I'm a weakling and I can't even bear my cross anymore." Before, and he called himself angry before, because that's what he's been trained to do, because if you stand up against authority, you're angry and rebellious. If you stand up against this world, you're thought to be arrogant and proud or angry or bitter or something like that. Whenever you want to follow the Spirit of God instead of the Spirit of this world. And so he began to seek after peace instead of seeking after Christ. He wanted peace. He wanted to lay down this struggle, this war that was going on within him. This question of sin lieth at the door. Which way are you going to choose? this choice to either quit sin or continue in it. He said, when I was angry, I was courage. I was full of courage and I was bold and had power. But he said, now I'm a weakling and I can't even take up my cross. He said, maybe this is punishment for my wavering from my faith, from my church. Or maybe it's just my cross to bear, to be weak. Nevertheless, whichever one it is, this is the gospel of the kingdom, and I'm going to follow it. The Spirit of God gives power. This world is a bad enemy. But God's greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you. We serve a great God, a powerful God, more powerful than anything in this world. People go around and saying, oh, sin is too strong for me. That's saying I serve a weak God. That's saying I serve a little puny God. I can't overcome the world. I just love it too much. That's saying God is little bitty. To say that Satan has more power over you than God. You're slapping God in the face. You're mocking Him. You're making a fool out of Him. That won't last long. It won't last long. They mocked Christ once. They made a fool out of Him once. But He's coming back with 10,000s of His angels, riding a white horse, and His eyes are going to be flaming fire, and out of His mouth going a two-edged sword that'll slay the nations. The Bible says the blood will run like a river, chest deep, or up to the horse's bridles. You won't mock Him long. We serve an awesome God. Not just awesome because He doesn't have any power over sin and over this world. He overcame this world. And He overcame sin. And when we're of His Spirit, we have the same power to do it. You can't do it like that. But you can prepare the ground to where He can do it in you. And that's where people miss it. They're waiting on Him just to do some magical thing. He's waiting on you to obey Him. He's waiting on you to give up whatever little trinket you have in your hand. You've heard the story of the monkey trap. They cut a hole in a log and they stick something shiny in there. And the monkey just makes that hole just big enough where he can squeeze his hand in there and get a hold of that. And when he makes a fist, his fist gets just a little bit bigger. And he can't pull it out the hole any longer. They say that that monkey will let you trap it before he'll let go of that little treasure that he has. That little piece of shiny gum wrapper, maybe, that was shiny and pretty that he just has to have. And he'll lose his life to gain it. What little gum wrapper are you hanging on to? What little gum wrapper are you hanging on to in this world? If you need to go back and talk to somebody, go back and talk to them. If you need to make something right, go back and make it right. If you need to forgive somebody, go forgive them. Don't hang on to that little gum wrapper until the devil grabs your soul. And you turn into a little weakling that can't bear your cross, but continues right on in your religion till death. Question is, if you could stop, would you? The sad thing is most say no. What are you going to do? I'm not talking to people out there in the world. We know their answer. What am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? Do I have a problem? What's my problem? Am I going to work on it? Do I have a problem with obeying? Do I have a problem with anger? Do I have a problem with talking too much? Do I have a problem with being ashamed? What's our problem? What's my problem? We serve mighty God. If we could just keep that mighty God in our thoughts and in our minds, lay ourselves down. The things of this world. One of these days, Christ is going to return right in the middle of whatever you're doing. Right in the middle of whatever you're doing. The Bible says that Christ will return in a time when we're not looking for Him. And we're not thinking about it. A time whenever we may not be ready. But there will be no more time for repentance. There will be no more time to fix things. There will be no more time to forgive. There will be no more time to quit laying up treasures on this earth. There will be no more time to be trying to fix everybody else's problems. There will be no more time to be talking about things that we shouldn't be talking about. Thinking about things that we shouldn't be thinking about. There will be no more time. It's over. Just like that. There will be no more time for God to say sin lies at the door. What are you going to do about it? When He returns, it's over. Right in the middle of you hammering a nail, you'll never finish your strike. It's over. Right in the middle of you starting to speak. It's over. Right in the middle of you thinking bad about somebody else. It's over. Right in the matter of you, in the middle of you throwing a fit. Because you're mad. Is that how you want to be when Christ returns? Watch and wait. Watch and wait. Watch and pray. If you could, would you? If you could, is your God big enough? Guess that's up to you. He is. There's no question about that. What are you going to do about it? Sin lies at the door. Glory also lies at the door. God's a two-part God. His promises are glorious. And His judgments are just as glorious. Which are we going to choose? God add His blessings to His words. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and mercy. Lord, help us present our bodies a living sacrifice, Lord, that we would be preparing, Father, to meet our Bridegroom, Father. Lord, that when He returns, He would find a bride worthy of Him. God, help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to You. Help us to ever be on our watch and our guard, waiting for You, longing for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen.